Bless the holy name. Bless the holy name. Father, we glorify you tonight. We glorify you, Lord. We bless thee, Father. Heavenly Father, as you approach thee now in thy word, we ask once again, come bless it, Lord, in the breaking down, Lord Jesus, of thy word of life. We ask for your grace and your presence now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We go where we left off, which we last week. We want to continue and finish off the book of the Philippians. We finish off with chapter 1 and the last 3-4 verses rather. In passing, and just go through it quickly on that, and then we'll just run down to the next chapter. Remember that the books of the Bible, there are never any chapter, no verses. So, not like we think that there is a chapter, like as if this is some new thought, but sometimes man-made break up the chapter doesn't make it really much sense though. Alright? But it's only for easy turning and reference to the words of God. Chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it become the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now let's turn to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35. John, chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, book of Philippians is a book of joy. Once again, do not forget, it actually Paul's joy letter. And actually it shows Paul's standing and how he stood stoutly, you know, in this time of storm and all this trial and persecution that he had gone through and all the stresses of life. And in this letter, as we said, from the very beginning, from the first chapter, we see that Paul had a great love and relationship with a Philippian Christian. Even though while he was in jail, he did not in any way feel sorrowful or look downcast in any sense of the word, but he really rejoiced in the Lord. And so right here now, he said, let your conversation is a way of life. Be has become the gospel of Christ. Now that I, whether I come and see you or not, I may hear of your affair, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mouth, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I said this last week in closing on that. There is a problem with society today when mankind is me and mine, me and mine, me and my family, me and my children, me and my wife, and nobody else. And this mentality is no good. And that's why it's very rarely that you see a church. There's some churches in America and in other parts of the world, they like to call their church community church or family church. And they really work together that every family that come together, they come together in unity of faith and consider everyone a part of the family. And this is something which is very hard to achieve as long as believers do not consider other or esteem other better than themselves. And where the love of Christ is not genuinely manifest, or that they do not really experience the genuine love of God themselves. So it is hard for them to really practice it, to show in their life conversation, the way they live their life. So here we see that, what is John 13:35 said just now? By this shall all men know that you are my disciple if you have loved one for another. And this is Christ's emphasis. Now you may think that, well, other religion, they do have love one for another. That is true, isn't it? But, you know, Buddha did not say that by this you, that men know that you are my disciple, you have love one for another. But Christ emphasized this in his gospel. And I believe this is one thing that we should stress, that we should love one another. That as Paul here said, that you should be one mind, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, standing together for the faith of the gospel. And in order to do that, you must think of others. And this is what Paul continually to encourage the saints in Philippi. Because they themselves already had that genuineness in that love for one another. And he keep on stressing them, sending this love affair to them. To be one, to unite in one faith, one spirit. And then he goes to me and says, in nothing terrified by your adversary, which to them is to them an evidence, token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. 1 Peter 1, let's go to that. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 13. Alright? 1 Peter 1, 1 to 13. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant grace hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth away, reserved in heaven for you. Now obviously remember this reserve. What Paul said, don't worry about the people, don't be terrified by your enemies. You know, and you know, sometimes I wonder whether you have this experience. I have a friend of mine when I was working. They know that the gospel is true. Somehow it convicted their heart. And then, you know, they are, because of the pride, they do not want to confess. Sometimes, you know, to be a Christian, to many people, it's a sissy thing. It seems that to be a Christian, you're not macho enough. Macho men will... They smoke and they drink and they do all the silly thing. To them that is manliness. And so, I have friends who will say things, you know. They will say all kinds of things to sort of brush away their fear of what is ahead of them. They know that they're going to face judgment, you know. And Peter and Paul said, don't worry about this. You know, they know that they are to them an evident tokens of perdition, of sin, of destruction when they come before God. But to us it is salvation. And Peter here wants us to remember that we have a lively hope to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know what reservation is, don't you? Every time when the Chinese New Year comes, closed, in China, there will be thousands and thousands of people that are going to go home from wherever they are working, from one city where they live to another where they work. They have to go back for the reunion, family reunion. And you know, the bus ticket will be sold out months ahead of time, the train ticket, and maybe even the plane ticket. Even here in Malaysia, you know, there are chaos, you see. So once you have a ticket, you have a reservation, you don't have to worry. Huh? So people book early, so to speak. If you want to go on holiday, make sure you want to have a reservation of place. You make your reservation early. And now the same thing here, Peter and Christ said that we have inheritance that is incorruptible, fade not away, undefiled, reserved in heaven. Now that's a blessed hope, you know that. Life eternal. And Paul said, do not be afraid of what these people say. What is adversary think of you, and don't be terrified by what they say. I know that, you know, it's not necessarily in the sense of terrifying a Christian. I know that many Christians fall away and backslid and then go back into the world by the saying of just some, you know, friends or a colleague. They say things that, you know, are just to discourage you, and you felt discouraged, and they just left Christ and go back into the world. And therefore, such a person actually do not have a faith strong enough. And it's a faith that they do not really see the revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. They have not even seen what lies beyond this curtain of time.
Is that right?
And because of that, Paul encouraged, do not be fearful of these people who terrify you. Now, let's continue where Peter left off. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Again, Peter like pausing. Rejoice! Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. A lot of trials you go through. People, you know, when you are down and out. I remember even my half sister. You know, years ago when I became a Christian, and we're just beginning to work, and we do not have a lot of things, you know, there were a lot of struggle. And there are certain things that happened to us. She will make a certain remark about Jesus Christ. You and your Jesus, why not your Jesus help you? They mock. Do you understand? They mock. Like some of you, maybe you're sick or whatever it is. You say, your God is a healer. Why doesn't He heal you? They will mock. Now, do not be discouraged. The reason why sometimes is that when certain thing looks the way it looks, it might be that God is testing or bring about a terrifying judgment upon sinners who make a mockery of your faith. Don't worry what people said about you. Very simple, you know, there were times when people said, if God is real, why don't you heal all the sick in the world? I said to them, if God was going to heal everybody, you would certainly be a believer, wouldn't you? That did not need any faith at all. You don't need faith when you can see with your eyes. Faith is something that you need that you cannot see with your eyes. But God has shown you in the Word, and you have seen beyond the curtain of time, and God has shown you by revelation. That's why the eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It is something that we live by faith, because it's something that God revealed to us as a revelation. And if you can believe, then you can receive. People say, I want to see first, then I'll believe. No, as Barbara will put it, you believe and then you will see. Is that right? So then let's not be discouraged by it. And we are going through a lot of tribulation here, Paul said, but rejoice, let's continue, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, but be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing or the apocalypse or the revelation of Jesus Christ as it comes, whom having not seen you love. Now that's true, isn't it? We have not seen Him. Can you love someone whom you have not seen? It's kind of hard, huh? You know, Rebecca, I have not seen Isaac. But the story that Eliezer told her, you know, and all the hearing of all these things, there is a revelation of quickly, and Rebecca said, yes, I be his wife. I love him. Huh? And you read about it in the paper, I think it was this fat Singaporean man who said there was no hope of getting married. What if I himself a Vietnamese bride? And this Vietnamese bride marry him. And now they have a child, they are happy, very happy. So to speak, you know. So what is love? He said, love with the eyes, what you see. Love is, you know what? Love is skin deep sometimes, you know. What love is blind, whatever you want to call it. In Hollywood circle, is that what they see with their eyes is love. You know what I mean? And so it's in Hollywood, everybody has a handsome looking actress, a beautiful looking, and so they marry this one, a few months, few years down the road, divorce, marry another one. That's love! Love this one, divorce, not the one, divorce, not the one. What do you call this love? No. That looks like an animal to me. Even animal has better understanding about love than mankind. So love is not something that you see with your eye. Love is an emotion, a spirit contact. That someone is special. Doesn't have to be beautiful or handsome or whatever it is. You know. So, Peter said, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's why, you know, I can dance. I can worship, I can rejoice. Sometimes at home I put on my music, And how sometimes I just move my body around, you know. Just dance away, you know. It's just the joy. I, if you feel the reality of Christ Jesus, that the love, it will not go away. It does not get defiled. It does not corrupt. It's not corruptible. It's incorruptible. Reserved for us. Isn't that right? Residing the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you, searching for what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand, the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us who did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which thing the angel desires to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the prophets of old, they prophesied of it, but they never saw. They never saw it. They looked forward for it. And all those in the New Testament, during the time of Christ, they saw it, they handled the word of life. And then we never saw Jesus too. You know, only we look back and see all this fulfillment. And see what the prophets prophesied of, and what the prophets, the apostle had handed, huh? This word of life, and how then it was transmitted to us, given to us. And with all this evidence, we cannot be shaken, I believe. With all this evidence that were laid out here in the scripture for us, facts that Christ is alive, that God given to us to this love that I said last Friday. Don't ever think that God never loved you. Or at a time in your own down, when you're down and out, you wonder why this thing comes upon me. Why I'm afflicted with this and afflicted with that. And then you feel that God has forsaken you. No. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, you know the Spirit of God is real. And if you have a doubt, just think of one thing. What God did to Jesus Christ. To prove His love for you. To show that God loves you, think about what God did to Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus into this world. And give Him a commandment. A word that He must fulfill. Something which already God, before Christ was born, something God had already prophesied of, and God determined that this promise that He had given to the patriarch of old must be carried out. And so when He sent Jesus Christ to the earth, He said to His Son, fulfill it. And it means require His death. And just think about it. When Jesus came and He preached the gospel and come to a place where He has to face death. And you think about it, Jesus Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading with the Lord, says, Lord, if it is possible, remove this cup from me. If it is possible, some way, somehow, if this cup can be removed, that I will not taste death. If it is possible, remove it. Now, how do you think? Is it not possible for God in every within His power to remove it and save His only begotten Son, and do not allow His Son to see death? Do you think that God has no power to do that? He has. Here was the cry of His only begotten Son, and here was the Father in heaven with His heart so rent apart. You will not feel it, you know. Sometimes people say, oh, God is God, you know. He's all powerful, you know what He's doing. But do you know that God has this great passion? Do you know that God has this feeling? Huh? Where does love come from? that man can love someone out there, or see some, or do a kind act. See someone on the street begging, you give an arm. Huh? Where does it come from? Oh, people like Mary Teresa, or our Singapore Teresa Hui, her name was. How they could take their time, spend their time to care for the sick and dirty and orphans. Where did that kindness come from? If it wasn't from the Lord. Even animals have the kind of action. You know, you keep dogs or you keep cats and you treat them nicely, they respond back to you. You think about where they come from. If people think that God is God, doesn't feel, you know what He's doing. Do you know how much He hurts God? Do you know how much God felt when Jesus says, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. The passion in the Garden of Gethsemane, why He prayed 3 times, and so much so that blood started oozing out into the surface of His skin. And Christ went through a passion that I believe, if you do not understand why the blood oozes out. Because He was going through stress. A stress that very few people ever have this kind of experience. Dying of a broken heart. Christ loved you so much that He prayed so intensely. He said, Lord, if possible, remove this cup. He knows He's facing death. For who? For you! And God did not speak a word. Say nothing. Think about it for a moment, huh? How that is. And Christ was so stressed out throughout the night. Praying. He got up after I don't know how long when he finds his upper sleeping. And he went back again. And on the third time, the Bible reported that there was blood on his skin. Was so tense up that you know I go into hypertension to sleep. Blood start oozing out through the capillaries into the skin. And then when he hang upon the cross, he actually died of a broken heart. The heart was breaking even from Gethsemane. And after which when he was arrested and he was whipped and tortured, the heart was already breaking up. So when at the cross his heart failed. So you get water in the sac, the pericardium. God Himself, the Father, did not say anything to the Lord Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, His Father, why thou forsaken me? God remained silent. God was bearing even the pain. A father seeing the son suffered, how do you think you feel? And don't ever say that God never loved you, my brother and sister. Don't ever say that. You may down and out, you may go to a lot of trial and tribulation. But we have an inheritance that is undefiled, incorruptible, guaranteed for us, reserved in heaven for us. You talk about the love of God. That's what this kind of love that Paul is talking about. You love one another. Have the same mind. Love one another. Because we are all family of God. You know what I'm saying time and time again about this? Don't me and mine. Huh? Don't be me and mine. When we are always well and healthy, we really don't think much. But I do not know. We are going now, it's the first day of 2006. I don't know, the Lord tarry, we go to another year, but some of you here may go to some other trial. God is just have to try it out. You have a lot of blessing all along the way. Years after year, one day God take it away and see how you will go react towards Him. Huh? When all this trial and temptation that comes our way, always remember this thing. No man have gone through what Christ has gone through. To take something upon himself that does not belong to him, something that is filthy, something that is terrible, and bear and carry it. The cross of the whole world. And that's why the Father does not speak a word. When you see all the sins of the world, filth, and being dumped upon his Son. So remember the love of Christ. Go back to Philippians now. And nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. As I said before, it is simply the gospel, the foolishness of the preaching. And I think it's really true, you know. The simplicity of the whole thing. The first time I heard the gospel preached, I said, this is real. Jesus saved. I never heard anything else about this religion, that religion, do good, do this, do not, turn here, turn there. What on earth? But here is something. Believe. Huh? You don't have to go on your knees and do penance and roll on the floor all the way, how many miles, how many kilometers to the temple? Right? Simply the foolishness of preaching the gospel that you are a sinner. Jesus came to save you. Lay down his life for you on the cross. Can you not believe it? It's just too simple. And it's foolishness. How could it be? The question is, how could it not be? How could it not be? It's always very simple for people to say, show me God and I'll believe. Oh my. Show me God and I will believe. You think you can show somebody God and he will believe? No, he will not believe. Not at all. Like a man, he says, disprove my doctrine is false, the brother will not come back and I'll give you $10,000. No matter how you disprove him, he will teach the word and he still keep his $10,000. Huh? Isn't it? To this day, the Bible is such a book. They have so many different opinions, views. There are people that can prove to you that God allowed woman preacher. I was reading an article today on the website somehow. Wow. He was able to prove it. He got to this verse and see here, and this is what the Greek means. Then I look at it properly and say, this is not what it means. But the way they laid it out, it was laid out by a woman, of course. And then there was another one that says, just one page. They probably really forbid a woman to teach. And then, we can prove to you, that's what Paul said. And what he used, he said, Paul used a double N, a double knot, N-O-T. Huh? What he's trying to say is that Paul said, I forbid not a woman not to teach, but that she cannot have seized authority from the man. That's what he's trying to say. No matter how you try to teach the scripture, Paul really said the woman was in transgression. We know that the woman was deceived. And we know that the ministry all was men. The disciples were all men, the apostles were all men from the beginning with. And they would teach the scripture here and there. So this Bible, you know this Bible? It's a treasure book. It's not easy to understand. The Word of God had it written is for us to go into it. Read and study it. Huh? God did not say, if you fail to understand it, thou shalt not be saved. It never, huh? Not like some people say that if you don't believe in the Holy Trinity, you will not be saved. Holy Trinity has nothing to do with salvation, you know. The Bible did not say, thou shalt believe in the Holy Trinity and thou shalt be saved. No, it did not say that. to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the Savior. Not the doctrine of a Trinity or even a one God. Even if you have a revelation of one God, doesn't make you saved at all. You don't even have a salvation at all just because you believe in one God. And even if you believe in Jesus, just mental faith up here in your head doesn't mean that you have salvation. You know, even the devil has that. The devil knows that Jesus is the Savior. Huh? He has to be your Savior. A personal. Everybody believes Jesus. Many people believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The devil believes that too. But you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 29. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Oh, now this is good. Really carefully. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Have you ever thought of that? Hey, you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in me, okay, so you, I also want you to, not only to believe in me, but also to suffer for my sake. Just to say, you know, Christianity is not a bed of roses. If Christianity is a bed of roses, to be a Christian, everything is smooth and bed of roses, refined, isn't it? No. We have to suffer for Him. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 14-18. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, even though Paul speaks about himself, even as for me, I speak for myself. I remember when I first took a stand for this faith. And I know that I will be, you know, shot. People, either they took a pot shot at me or tried to blow me up with an elephant gun. So from that time on, when I took a stand for it, here it already started here in Singapore. Oh! Richard, he's not Hebrew, this is, but again, he's not in the message. It's not in the message. He's with Jackson, he's with this, and then all kinds of things were spoken. But he make himself this, he make himself that, he call himself this, he call himself that. You know, and they spent all that thing about me. And just those who knew me, they didn't even defend me at all. They just keep mum about it. And some even laughed at us. But you know, over the years, it proved only one thing, that God is on my side. If those things that they have, if they have those revelations that they claim to be true, why did they not stand? You know, either you stand or you fall is based on your word, on the word of God. Is that alright? On the solid rock of God I stand. Right, Lord? All the ground is sinking sand. We are built upon the word of God. We are not built upon some word of man. Not even Brother Branham. Not even Paul. It's the revelation that Paul gave it out. That if you can catch it, it's yours. Is that alright? So what happened to all those churches today? They no longer goes around. What happened to them? Fragmented here and there, everywhere. And they are without leadership. You see, God is not mocking. You sow, you reap all the time. I said this, the Bible said it very clearly. You sow, you reap. But as Paul said, Christ stood by me.
John knew what he preached was truth. Alexander Coppersmith and many others. Hymenus. No, they attacked him. They went against him. They spoke evil about him. But yet God stood on the side of Paul and vindicated his work. So Paul said, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Now, you brother, sister, you have been with me, especially those of you who are in the early years. In the early years, you hear all kinds of things being said about you too. They will say all kinds of things. I remember those times when my sister came and reported to me. They were in the bus with some of the other the believing sister of the other fellowship. And they heard them say things about us over here. That's a shame, isn't it? Open your mouth. If you don't know what truth is, God is going to show it. Make you a fool of yourself. And you're on the website, just reason I told you to look at it. And not only Dodden Bruce attacked me just by reading some of my book, he has to defend his own doctrine. He started to attack me when I don't even know who this man was, who he is. And he started to attack me by twist. No, he attacked me, it's okay. But when he started to twist my word and make me say a thing that I do not say, I never teach those things. He's just twisting my word, putting words in my mouth. And here another one that came along, and this one, I don't even know him too. He's from another organization, his own organization. Cohort Record. And because he has some association with somebody that happens to know me, I took him for a ride, and he blamed it on me. So I went to my website, started reading through some of the things, twist and turn everything. At first I was just putting a little update on Brahminism and mention about him. So when I went back again to read through the whole article, my goodness, more than 50% of odds there that he wrote, it was twisting of my words. And I have to expose that man. I just have to expose that man for being a liar. Paul had to call Alexander the coppersmith. Hymenus is one of them also. I think the other one is Philetus. I'm not sure. They're their name now. Paul had to expose his name because of the way that they were treating him. And out there, the same thing in Singapore. Those that were saying things about me and twist my word. It's very scary for someone to go out from this fellowship, left us, and then go out there and speak to the other fellowship and say, Brother Gunn, I don't agree with him. Brother Gunn believed that a woman can remarry. When a man makes a statement like this, you know what? He's telling others that I believe a woman has the right to remarry. But he doesn't know on what ground. He's not giving the full story. It's just like somebody said, your Bible said there is no God. Is that right? Did you know your Bible said there is no God? Huh? Is it true that your Bible said there is no God? Yes or no? No! The Bible said the fool says that there is no God. Not the Bible saying. You're telling how a story, what I'm saying? And that's how dangerous that is. How dangerous that really is. And that's why people are sowing all these things. And such a man, I have to expose him. But we have to suffer for it. I don't mind him calling me a tyrant. You can call me a false prophet. You can call me anything you want to. You can attack my doctrine. But make sure that you quote exactly what you want to say. And then attack it. But if you twist it and say something that I didn't say, then you're going to face my wrath. I'm not going to come against you. I'm going to expose you for being a liar. Do you know how it is? The people are just taking the word of God and twisting mothers and talking about somebody else's word. How the people out there in the world have twisted Brother Abraham's word.
Even to this day. Oh, do you know he was a false prophet because he prophesied that 1977 will end the world system and see Christ come in the rapture. But Brother Branham did not prophesy. But you know, for people who never know who Brother Branham was, never read his book, and people were warned about William Branham, and were hurt, they heard, he said, oh, is that so? He prophesied and never come to pass. And they talk about angels being a demon, whatever it is. You know, these people, I fear for them, they don't even know what they are saying. They can stand in what Jesus said in the last day. In the book of Matthew, says, Lord, Lord, I've done great things in your name. What dangerous guy said, what great thing did you do? Oh, I exposed William Branham as a false prophet. Oh, is that right? Do you see him standing right over there? Do you see him standing right over there among all the calibers of prophets? Do you see him standing there with Elijah? And what do you think you're going to stand? There will be a day will be very shocking to many people. Now everybody, you know, today, there's so many people believe that they are building a new, the true church. Even this website I went to, they just started only beginning of this 20 years ago, I think, or 10 years ago. They believe that they are the one that started a new church now. The real church. You know what? I believe the true church has been moving all the time. They went into error, God pulled them out. Is that right? They went into error, God pulled them out. You see. And so when we talk about the church, we are talking about the whole nucleus of what is going on in these different churches or organizations. Remember one thing, you should not treat all the other churches, all the other Christians out there as some filth. No, they are not. You treat them as brothers and sisters, only that they are lost to the truth. They are still brothers and sisters in the Lord. Do you understand? But when we talk about tares, we are talking about the whole organization itself. How especially the clergy, the system, the spirits of organization. The hierarchical spirit that blinds the eyes of men. You see. Do you understand? Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Well, let's read Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, see how Paul is. You're crucified with Christ. That's all you care about. Even though you now live, it's no longer you that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Huh? How wonderful it is. And Paul says, you know, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here, you're going to see how I went through the suffering and you bear with me. That's really joy. Joy. If there be for any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy. That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know what a bowels is? Bowels. You know what bowels is? Bowels. Your dormant area is called a bowels. I remember the song that goes, there is joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. You remember the song? Huh? There is joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. You remember the song? Okay, good. Now in the Malay, or in the Indonesian version, saya ada suka, 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 suka dalam hati. Mana? Dalam hati. Now you know what hati is? You know what other it is? You know what dalam hati is? Heart! No! Heart is jantung! There you see. Why we think the heart is heart? Hati is the liver. I love you, joy, 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 down in my where? Liver. Down in where? Liver. Now I got a joy down in my bowels. What? Down in my bowels. You know, the translation are very peculiar in that even in different eras of time, different period of the English Empire, huh? Language expression are totally different. You understand that, don't you? Huh? So when you say bowel is actually the core. Actually expression is that our strength is all in this area, the bowel area. You understand? So this is actually the core. Love is all my bowel, all my bowels. Isn't that sounds funny, isn't it? You better be any bowels, you know. You got any cover of love, any fellowship of space, any bowels and mercy, anything that is inside the core, the feeling, the inner part of man. Your inside, everything that is inside, oh, so I love you with all my heart. But you're only talking about all my bowels, all your inside, that is to say, all your inside. You know, the expression is really funny. So, I have a joy down in my liver. It's also good. After all, you know, your liver is one place where you detoxify all the bad stuff, and your love should be in there. Okay? So, that is what is actually expression. So, all about love and fellowship, you know, if any bowel is inside, you know, all everything about your mercy, fulfill my joy, that you be like-minded every time, like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind, of one accord. Do you remember the Battle of Jericho? Huh? Yeah, Battle of Jericho. You know, we're under the order of Joshua. Everybody behave themselves, huh? He could do this, that's the way to be done. God says so, you should not disobey that. Okay, march around the city once a day and keep my mouth shut. Don't talk, don't mumble, don't whisper. Oh, everybody has to obey. Oh, nobody speaks a word. Huh? Once a day. And Joshua said, on the seventh day, you march around seven times, and after you have that, you blow your trumpet, and you yell your voice like whatever. Then they let go. And let go the steam. And the water tumbling, comes tumbling down. That is one man, one accord. Everybody must obey. One soldier make a noise, that's it. That's it! It's finished. And you know, those of you who are training army, y'all go out there, take the night, do Reiki or whatever it is. Everybody, I mean, now in training you have to be serious too. I know sometimes in training some people like to woo, and scare somebody that is in the dark. No, in training there's not to be funny, you have to be serious. Because in reality, when it becomes in reality of war, you might get carried away, boo, and then you get finally being shot by somebody. You see, so everything got to be exactly according to the law. And everybody has to do it. Do you want to get a point? Huh? So, let nothing be done to strive or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, that's maybe kind of a bit difficult sometimes. Can we esteem other people better than ourselves? Okay, now musician. Christabel may esteem Eunice better than her. Huh? Then Eunice said, Paisi. No, Christabel is better. You know? So, well, I mean, we need to esteem the other person better, and we can learn from the other person. Even though you think the other person may not have anything to teach you, but in fact there might be something for you know. So we need to esteem the other person better than ourselves. Alright? Now, here is a problem here we have. Let me tell you a story. You know, in denomination today, everybody is preaching their own doctrine. Huh? What organization, what denomination you are, you represent the system. So you are going to preach that system. Nobody is agreeing with one another. Now, here was four frogs. Four frogs. You know, they hop onto a log that was on the river. Now there was, while they were sitting on the rock, on the log began to move. Then one of the frogs said, "Ha! The log is moving. Then another frog says, no, the log is not moving. The river is moving and bringing us to the sea. Then another frog, the third one says, no, it's not the log that is moving, it's not the river that is moving, it's our thought that is moving. Our thought that is moving. So, the fourth frog, try to meditate a little bit. Try to figure out the whole thing. And these three frogs are still arguing with one another. You know, everybody thinking that they are right. Everyone extending the thought that they are at the truth. So finally, the three frogs says, now, let's ask this friend of ours, what do you think? The frogs think for a while. He says, now, all of you are right, and you are not all wrong. The log is moving. The river is also moving. Your thought is also moving. So, you know, these three frogs were looking at each other. In their heart, they were thinking, it cannot be so. The one who said the log is moving, I am right. I cannot be wrong. Those others are wrong. How can the river be moving? The log is moving. How can the thought be moving? The one who said the river is moving, said, how can the log be moving? It's the river that is, how can the thought be moving? The one who thinks the thought is moving, the thought is moving, if the thought is not moving, how can the log move? How can the river move? Huh? So finally, those three, when they heard that the fourth one says that you're all right, you're all not wrong, they all finally agree upon one thing. They took the fourth frog and threw him into the water. Huh? So you know one thing about this? No matter what, if you speak the truth, you'll be sick upon. And what the four frogs said is true, isn't it? The log is moving. The river is also moving. Your tongue is also moving. So he was saying that he was alright, but not alright. Huh? And so they all don't agree with him. You speak the truth, you turn the water. When you have a revelation, brother and sister, you will be attacked. You call there to the denomination, you tell them the truth of the one Godhead, the Trinitarian, the Baptist will sit on you, the Anglican will sit on you, everyone who is a Trinitarian will sit on you. You agree with that? Sure. And you tell them the word of baptism is in Jesus, in by immersion. The Luther will sit on you because the Spirit is sprinkling. The one, the Baptist, baptized in the Father, name of God, will also sit on you. And yet the truth about it is by revelation when you have it, nobody wants the truth. Got it? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. For the loneliness of man, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now this is what a bit more complex. The mind. You know what the mind is? You know what the mind is? The mind. It's a complex thing. It's kind of hard to explain this thing, but it's where your consciousness, your idea, your feeling, everything is all worked up. Your inner being, your feel, everything, you know, the mind, your thinking, huh? Your idea. So, Paul is saying, let this mind of Christ Jesus be in you. Now that's only one way that the church can esteem one another, the member of the fellowship can esteem one another better, and keep your one mind, one accord, in one spirit. The only way to have it is to have this mind of Christ in you. Because if you have the mind of Christ in you, you will think of others better than you, esteem him better than you. You will be one accord with the truth. Huh? Having the same faith. Not striving for personal vainglory. Strive is quarreling, eh? Like the frogs, everybody think that they are right. Denomination, everybody think that they are right. They will always be. But Paul talks about the church. But talk about Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but himself, make himself no reputation. He emptied himself. He took upon him the form of a servant, who was making the likeness of man. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. We all know who Christ is. When he came down to this earth, when he was baptized, he was the incarnate Word made manifest. That made him God. But he did not consider himself, you know, much about this. It is not, he said here, whom in the form of, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. Jesus, being that he was the incarnate Word made manifest, was God in the flesh. But he did not go around making this thing a big issue. He claimed that he is God. He could and make a big issue out of it. But he chose to humble himself and be a servant of man and obey the word of God unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of his willingness to humble himself, the Bible says that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that is set before him. Oh, when a person is about to die, he has to face death. How could there be joy? Who for the joy that was set before endured the cross, despising the shame? What joy was he looking at? Christ was looking beyond the cross. And here we are today. Whatever trial we go through, whatever testing God put upon us, it comes time for us that God wants us to show love, real love, without holding back, without grudge. I mean, to show love without grudge. I mean, not grudgingly, huh? You know? We look beyond all these things. So that's why joy, Jesus Christ had this joy to go beyond the cross, because in there he shared. You know that Jesus Christ, he break bread, huh? He said, take it, eat it, this is my body, which was broken for you. I shared it with you. This is my blood, which was shed for you. He broke it down, he poured it out, so that your joy may be fulfilled. And in that, it is Christ in joy. He is the one who saw this joy and he shared with you. You know what the joy of the Lord is? The Bible talks about, we sing the song, the joy of the Lord is my song. What is the joy of the Lord? What is the joy of the Lord? Here we have the joy. You know what we read? Huh? Who for joy? The joy of Christ. Joy that was set before him. That he endured the cross. You know? It's all about the word of God being fulfilled. It's about holding on to the word, having a revelation, and fulfill it in all humility. That's what Jesus Christ, Paul said, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I'm going to close in the last two verses. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. Now think about it. Think very carefully. At the name of Jesus, every knee. Not one of your knees, every knee. You have two knees. Every knees will have to bow, like it or not. What do you mean by every knees have to bow? And if let us go on here and say, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. Should confess. Hey, what is confession? You talk to someone who's not a believer, Confess that Jesus is Lord. What do you mean by confess? I don't even believe him. Huh? Do you know what I mean? So how could he confess that Jesus is really Lord? He don't believe. But he says, every tongue should confess one of these days. Why? Because at the revelation of Christ, every eyes will know who he is. Huh? And everybody will realize, he's Lord. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will say, yes, he is Lord. Like it or not, here Paul wrote this, the world people say, how could it be? They laugh at it, they make fun of it. Right? The atheist doesn't believe in it. The unnoticed couldn't care less about it. But we who believe, we already confess. Huh? And when we confess him to be the Lord and bow our knees before the Lord, even now, we don't stand in judgment. Huh? But Christ, but God has given a name above every name. Even the world today, everything is dated, everything is, time is moving around because of BC and AD. Huh? What is BC? What is AD? And the name of Jesus, everybody knows. Yeah, he's a man. Yeah, he's a good prophet. He's this and all this thing. But one of these days, they will have to bow their knees and confess that he is the Lord. Hebrews 10, 25 and 27. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some is, by exhorting one another, so much as you see the day of Christ approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there will be no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Now, that's what everyone needs to bow, because when it come for judgment, they will know who Christ is. And they will have to confess. They have to face the judgment. Alright? Joy that Paul talks so much of is because of the love of Jesus Christ. The Philippian Christian, they are experiencing this love of Christ very real. They can share with one another. They have one mind, one accord. They all work together in one spirit. And Paul just loved that, encouraged them to go on, continue to go on these things. And joy is Jesus, then other, than you. And it's all about sharing. Do you know what I mean? It's all about sharing. It's not just about, joy is not about health. It's not about healing. You know? Joy is not about, I got 5 months bonus. Huh? It's not about, I got a new car. You know? Joy is not about, I got a baby boy. 10 pounder. Whatever. You know? But joy is about sharing. And that's what it is. Or everything having in common. That's what the early church have. Everything in common because they care for one another. And this is what Jesus said. If you have loved one for another, then more men will know that you are my disciple. Even as much as Bible itself about capstone. Huh? The divine agape love that comes. And so if we cannot come to the place of filial love a little higher and come next to agape love, then what else we have? We are real low down. And that would be terrible. Because next to agape that comes down is what? Brotherly kindness. It's filial. You see? So if we have the filial love right now, really have the filial love, share one another, we can touch agape. Now agape will be very real one of these days. People think that they're having agape love today. They're manifesting the way that they're manifesting the agape. They're not agape. Huh? Agape love is a love that you can
go out there and the red bull come charging at you? Huh? And he says, bull, stop. Why are you doing that to me? I do no harm to you. Or like Brother Abraham, you know, stir up a hornet nest accidentally or something. And the hornet nest start coming around him. Say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you. You know, things like that. That is why agape is supernatural. So if you want to explain the supernatural love of God that is going to really cut the bride, then you need to have that filial. If you cannot love a brother or sister in the church, you do not have that unity, that one mind, one accord, how can you ever touch them? How can you ever touch them? You see? So it got to be it will be a reality if we come to that place. And all we have to do is get to this Word of God and focus our mind on that love of Jesus, love of God. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord. We bless thy word. We thank you. We know, Father, that as this new year comes into focus, Lord, as whether it be another year for us to go in before our Lord and Savior Jesus return, Father, we want to give ourselves to you and walk in the light of Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, Lord, what's ahead of us, we do not know. But we know who holds tomorrow. We know, Father, you care for us and you undertake, Father, our footsteps. And whatever that will be, Father, Lord, as you lead us, whatever will be down the road, that you will place some testing in our life, or some trial to try us, to mold us and bring us to the place of that love that will channel into the church, Lord, and to the place of oneness and of being of one mind, one accord, and where we esteem one another better than ourselves, Father. And we will come to that place of agape love on this day. And we are looking to that place, O Lord, when the great divine love of Jesus comes down and keep us whole. And Lord, we are thankful, Father, for tonight as we come together, Lord, and to this communion table. And we have just humble ourselves in one way or another, Lord, by thy commandments to wash one another's feet. So we are thankful, Lord, and may that our action, Father, will be put into reality of that other part of the action of bringing forth the truth, Lord, in our life. And Lord, we are thankful for these ordinances. And Lord, even now as we prepare our hearts for the communion, we ask for your presence to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Lo, in the grave he laid Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, when the mighty trial is over, he arose from the dark domain, and he lives in forever with his sin to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Jesus my Savior, verily the Savior did, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty trial of his foe. He arose a victor from the dark moment, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Jesus, my Savior, paid for the last of which, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave, He arose, with the mighty tribe of His foe. He arose, the victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose.